right, let's take our Bibles now, and I'd like you to turn to Mark 10, 14. We continue the series on to seek and to save, winning people to Christ. Tonight I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about winning the children to Christ. Winning children to Christ. Mark chapter 10, and one verse, and then we're going to be going to some other verses that I want us to go to. We'll start with this verse, Mark 10 and verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. That's something to take notice of when Jesus is not happy, when he's displeased. He was much displeased and said unto them, suffer or allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such, that is little children, is the kingdom of God. Little children can be saved. Amen. Now turn to Matthew 18, if you will. Matthew chapter 18. And we'll be looking at some verses here as we go through some of these verses, as we look at the fact that God, I believe, and I want to address everybody here, but especially those of you that are parents, that you recognize the importance of winning children to Christ, your own children. I want to speak to those of you that are working with children, teenagers, working with little boys and girls, anybody working in those capacities, Sunday school teachers and workers, that you recognize that little children can be saved and need to be saved. Anybody who works in any ministry, whether it's vacation Bible school, whatever it may be, where we're working with little children, to remember and recognize that they are savable and that they need to be saved. And anybody that cares for children needs to realize that. I could also include grandparents in that. Amen? Grandparents. And we need to realize that. R.A. Torrey, great preacher. Dr. Torrey, Moody Bible Institute, and then preached all over the world. Evangelistic crusades where scores and scores and scores upon scores were saved. Made this statement. He said, no other form of Christian work brings such immediate, large, and lasting, notice that, immediate, large, and lasting results as work for conversion of children. R.A. Torrey said that. And I'll guarantee you, he had God's blessings on his life. Now let me try to show you some things here in Matthew chapter 18. About little children being saved. First of all, they need to be won. Chapter 18, look at verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Do you understand what he's saying there? That little ones do perish. What does he mean by that? He means they die and go to hell. Little ones, after they come to the age of accountability, if they do not get saved, though they be little ones, they can die and go to hell. You say, how would God allow that? My friend, they have a choice to make. And that's why it's so important that they be won. Children need to be won to the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, they may be won. Not only do they need to be one, but they truly may be one to the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter Matthew 18 and verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. Do you see that? God says little ones can believe in him. They need to be saved, and they may be one to the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, made this statement. Spurgeon said, the capacity for believing lies more in the child capacity for believing lies more in the child than the adult. Now, I know that the secular world and the unsaved psychiatrists and psychologists are telling us that if we teach them religion and teach them about Christ and they get all of these decisions when they're little, we're brainwashing them. It is cruelty, and we don't have a right to do that. But I beg to disagree, because the Bible says we do have a right to do that. Not only do we have a right to do that, we have the responsibility to do that. The capacity for believing lies more in the child than in the adult. Jonathan Edwards. How many of you ever heard of Jonathan Edwards? I'm not talking about that renegade relative of yours, but the great Jonathan Edwards. He was saved at 9 years of age. 9 years of age. Isaac Watts, who wrote some of the most beautiful songs, was saved at nine. I was saved at nine. Fanny Crosby, one of the greatest writers, blind Fanny Crosby, was saved at 11 years of age. In fact, the majority of the people that get saved are saved before they're 21. How many of you in this building, and I did this a while back, I want to do it again. How many of you in this building were saved before you were 21? Raise your hand. Do I need any more witnesses? Most everybody was saved probably before they got out of high school. That was saved. The vast majority of the people are saved. That tells me that not only do they need to be one, they may be one, and we need to go after them and win them to Christ. They need to be one to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then children are easily won. I'm glad for that. You know why? They don't have all of the prejudices that adults have. They don't have all the baggage that adults have. They don't have to work out all that stuff that is accumulated in the lives of the adults. They just have simple faith, realizing I'm a sinner, Jesus died for me, and I trust Him as my Savior, and it doesn't have to get any more complicated than that. That's exactly how I got saved. I realized I was lost. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. I knew that Jesus died for me, and I trusted Christ as my Savior, 9 years of age. And I was just as saved then as I am right now. And thank God they are easily won to Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize that. They have fewer prejudices and complications. And then children, when they are won, thank God whole lives are won. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that nice? You see, a man gets saved at 50 and we say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And rightfully so. A little child gets saved, 6 or 7. We say, well, I wonder if they know what they're doing. Or 9 or 10. Well, I hope that sticks. But we rejoice over a 50-year-old. But my friend, the sad thing about a 50-year-old getting saved, though it's great that they get saved, or 60 or whatever it is, they've wasted most of their life. I have led people to Christ in their 80s. And I think some over that in their 90s, but I know for sure in their 80s, and I remember a woman that I led to Christ one time, and I went to her mobile home. She was about 86, 87. I'm looking at my wife. She's nodding yes. And she and her husband owned a restaurant in Chicago. She knew Al Capone. Her husband knew Al Capone, and she had been in church a number of years. She visited our church. Someone invited her to come. I went to visit her. I shared with her the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she just sat there and wept and cried. And she said, oh, I wish I'd have known earlier. She said, I don't know how to forgive my church, my denomination. Nobody's ever told me about Jesus Christ. And she was gloriously saved, and I was so glad. I never forget the night I baptized. She came out of the water, and she just shook like that. She was so happy, she just shook. And I said, hallelujah. Let her shake, rattle, and roll all she wants to. She got saved, and praise the Lord for it. But she was saddened that much of her life was wasted, that she could have really lived for the Lord. But when a little child gets saved, you got their whole life. Amen. You got them at an early age, you got their whole life, and they can live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that that's the case. And that's why we need to get people saved at an early age. And then children are ours to win. They're not anybody else's to win. If we do not win the children, who's going to win them? They are ours to win. And specifically, I'm talking about parents. Parents, it is not the Sunday school teacher's job to win your child to Christ necessarily. Oh, thank God if it happens and if they do, but it should be done by you. One of the most precious things, that it should be done by you at home. I believe if my folks had sat down and talked to me before I got saved at 9, I would have gotten saved a little bit earlier. I knew all the facts. Nobody just sat down and talked to me. But it was in a preaching service that I got saved. Now, I know we can't explain all the timing and grace of God, but I do believe that parents sometimes rely on all other things. I believe that you ought to do all you can as parents to win your young children to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about overpowering them and talking them into it. I'm talking about being sensitive, watching them. With faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If they are willing to hear it and believe it and ask Christ to come in their heart, why can't they be saved? According to the Bible, these little children had faith. These little ones had faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, nobody else can get to heaven unless our faith is like that. What kind of faith is that? Simple faith. Very childlike, simple faith. You don't have to go through catechism to get saved. You don't have to go through 13 rules and regulations and 13 weeks of some kind of pre-getting saved lessons and all of that. You just come and say, I'm a sinner. Jesus died for me, and I accept him as my Savior, and you're saved. You get saved if you really mean it in your heart and you understand those things. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is the gospel, that he died for us and died for our sins. And so we need to do all we can wisely and lovingly to get our children to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I might add our grandchildren. My children, we had two children. They're both saved. My daughter, no doubt, is in church in Roanoke, Virginia right now. They may be out by now, not because he preaches shorter, because they start earlier and so on and so forth. There's a time difference. I know what some of you are thinking. But at any rate, I'm glad that they're saved. My son's here tonight. And then all of our grandchildren are saved. Even Kylie, at an early age, she has accepted Christ as her Savior, little Kylie. And you wouldn't believe she's about, what, 6 now? 7, see? You wouldn't believe she's 7. I didn't believe it. 7 years of age, she's saved. And I'm working on Jake. I tried to get him saved the other day, and he said, Papa, I'm just 8 months old. Cool it, you know. No, not really. But I'll be glad when he gets saved. I'll be thrilled. I'm looking forward to the day when he comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. So they are ours to win, and they're ours to win right now. You know what? God's time is always now. Oh, I understand the age of accountability. I understand all that. But if they have the knowledge of right and wrong, they are responsible to God. I don't know if we understand that a little child can die and go to hell. I don't know if we understand. You say, God, what? No. Listen, read the Bible. Look at what the Bible says. Little children, that they do not perish. What in the world does that mean? It means the same thing that it means in other passages, John 3:16 or anywhere else. We need to recognize that little children need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know God is merciful. I know God is gracious. And only God knows what that age of accountability is in their life, the great knowledge of right and wrong and so forth. And I don't know exactly where that is. I know it's not always 12 years of age, as some have purported. But I can tell you that we need to win them now. Now is God's time. Now is God's command. And now is certain. You have no promise that even a little child will be living next week. You don't know. And I do not know that they're going to be living next week. And then children will be won. They will be won. Somebody's going to take them captive. Either the devil or the Lord. And I believe the earlier that they're on the Lord's side and that they are captured by the Lord, the better off they're going to be. It'll either be the Lord or the enemy, and I'd rather it be the Lord. Now let me go somewhere and remind you of a little story in 2 Kings 4. If you'll turn over there, back up in the Old Testament there to 2 Kings chapter 4, let me just show you a couple of things. What are the qualifications for winning little children to the Lord? What are the qualifications? 2 Kings 4 And we'll look at some different verses in this chapter. The story, as you know, is about the Shunammite woman. And God's prophet came. And as the prophet came, she said she didn't have anything but a little bit of oil. Around verse 6, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. By the way, God filled up every vessel they made available. That it had more vessels, that it had more faith and brought more buckets, that it had more deal, you know. And I think that's true in our church and in our own lives too. But that's the background in the story of what is taking place here. But I believe we need to be like Elisha was in this story, not like Gehazi, his servant. I think Elijah represents the man of God with the truth. Verse 21, 2 Kings 4:21, the Bible says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him. She laid him on the bed before the man of God. Elisha was the man of God. Gehazi had a different attitude. Look at verse 31. Gehazi was his servant, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, went back to Elisha, and met him, saying, the child is not awake. He just said, it's not going to happen. And I think he speaks of the person that is the formalist. It's got to be done a certain way, certain form, and so on and so forth. The man of God said, no, not exactly like that. And Gehazi was that kind of person. And I think the first thing we've got to do is be saved ourselves and know the Lord ourselves in order to be like Elisha, so we can do what we really ought to do for the glory of God. Be like Elisha. Don't be like Gehazi, who doubted it and who just sort of wanted to drop it and wanted to quit. And then recognize the child's true condition. And this is what I've said earlier, but I'm just illustrating it through this story. Recognize the child's true condition. Again, Gehazi just really didn't want to admit it, which is obvious in verse 31. But that was not the case in the life of Elisha, the man of God. And he recognized what had taken place. In verse 32, and when Elisha, you see, Gehazi said he's just asleep. He's really not dead. See, that's what the liberals tell us. That's what those who have the former religion, they've got a spark of divinity. They're not totally dead in their trespasses and sin. Get out the big fan of good works and religion and wave it and fan it back and forth, and it'll get brighter and bigger, and the flame will get brighter and bigger like a fireplace that you're fanning, and they'll finally burn into deity. No, it's not that way at all. Here's the problem. Here's the truth. Verse 32, when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. We must recognize the real condition of the children, that they too, if they are of the age of accountability, are dead in their trespasses and sin. We need to be like Elisha. Verse 33, look at what he did. And this is what we need to do for our children. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon the two of them, them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Every parent and grandparent should be praying for their children and grandchildren to be saved. Call them every day by name. Call them every day that you possibly can by name and say, oh God, save my grandson, save my granddaughter, save Beth, save Elizabeth, save Jim, save little Tom, save Mark, save them, bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for their salvation. He said he's dead, and we got to get down to business. And the business is the business of praying. And he shut the door, just the two of them there in the room, and he went before God in prayer. Lord, this is a bad case. Lord, this is a difficult situation. This child is dead. And you remember, Elisha had promised her that God would give her a child. She said, oh, you know, we'd say it like this, oh, get out of here, Elisha, you know better than that. And 9 months later, at the right time, a few months later, she brought that child into the world. And then the child got a headache, was out with his daddy farming, got a headache, got sick, came back, and died. That's a picture of everybody who is lost, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he says, we've got to pray. So he shut the door and prayed. In verse 34, it took some personal contact. Personal contact. Look at verse 34. And he went up and lay upon the child. This is a very unusual picture here, but look at it. He went up and lay upon the child. He had prayed and evidently walked out a while, and then he came back and he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. You see how God was working through this prophet? And that is a picture to us. That's a reminder to us that we need to have understanding and sympathy with those that are unsaved, to meet them where they are, to show them the heat of our love and the body, the local body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they will come to Jesus. That we have sympathy, that we have understanding. And by the way, I think probably it would be true that his mouth was clean, his eyes were clean, and his hands were clean. If we're going to affect other people, we better have clean hands. And we better be looking at the right things, and we better be living the right kind of life if we think we're going to have personal contact with them and make a difference. Now, he was looking to God to perform this miracle. Looking to God to perform the miracle. No one else could do it. Look at verse 35. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. Now the whole thing hadn't totally transpired yet. But flesh of the child waxed warm when he laid himself on him. Then he returned, walked in the house to and fro, back and forth. Can you see Elisha walking back and forth? He's just sort of pacing the floor, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child, I think this is so funny, the child sneezed seven times. Achoo! Seven times. And the child opened his eyes. Isn't that a good story? I'd like to have been there and experienced that and seen exactly what happened there. Psalm 62:5. Let me tell you, only God can perform a miracle like that. He was praying, talking to God. Psalm 62:5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Who's your expectation from? Better not be from me. I'll let you down. It better be from God. Amen. Our expectation for God to intervene, for God to do something, for God to save our loved ones, for God to save our children and grandchildren. It has to be God working in their lives. And then don't give up. Just don't give up. Again in verse 35, I think we see it as he just kept on. He just stayed with it. He didn't quit and say, well, it's just not going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. No, he went back up. He stayed with it. He did what he was supposed to do. He paced back and forth. He kept calling on God. And what a thrilling thing. I'm telling you, it's always worthwhile when you stay with it. And your child or your grandchild or your friend or your loved one comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is when that takes place. Mom and Dad, are you saved? Are your children saved? Are your grandchildren saved? Win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Workers in this church, win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't force feed them. Don't trick them. But be sensitive. Take the opportunity. One of the best places for evangelism, if it doesn't take place at home, is in the Sunday school class. How many boys and girls have been saved in the Sunday school class? Many of them. And we bring many in whose mothers and daddies know nothing about Christ, who would not tell them about Christ. I heard somebody say somewhere today in a message on TV or something about one family, and he was talking to a little boy and he didn't know the difference in Jesus and Superman and Batman. Well, I thank God I knew the difference when I was a little boy. We need to let them know about Jesus and get them to Christ. Win the children. Win the children. Win a life, not only a soul saved, but a whole life won for Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please.